Our text is taken from the fourth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, beginning with the fourth verse, and I ask that you would note the Trinity as sprinkled into this little text. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. All of you know, of course, how you ended up being here today. That billions of years ago, there was an explosion of gases that caused an enormous chain of events to take place, that caused various cells to develop, and ultimately those souls grew into living organisms and amoebas and tadpoles and came out of swamps and ultimately developed into other living creatures. And finally, through the process of survival of the fittest and elimination, certain species seem to rise above the rest, and here we are today. Man is this fully developed now, wonderful creature. Your life then is no more important, no lesser, no greater than the raccoon that was hit on the highway on Highway 169 last night. The problem is every one of us is going to die. We all have dirt that's going to be thrown on top of our bodies. So what must we do? Well, one of the great minds of our day has given us a wonderful answer, full of a lot of hope and great comfort. Carl Sagan, secular humanist, let's hear his great answer for us. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all its vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. It is up to us. Isn't that comforting? It's up to us. That means it's up to me. It's up to me to be able to come up with an answer for my dead body someday. I can't even get my lawnmower to start some days. It's up to us. That means it's up to you? How depressing is that? What a horrific view of life. How terrifying life would be. How absolutely hopeless life would be if that is all we have. It's up to us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And during that process of creation, on the sixth day, God very specifically had a council among the three persons of the Trinity. And they said to each other, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, both male and female. And so all three persons of the Trinity collaborated to design a special and unique creature different than all of the others that had gone before this. And this creature that God would design would be entirely unique in the rest of the world, would have a reflection of God in him and her, would have the capacity to know God and the capacity to have a relationship with God, unique and different from any other creature on the earth. Many of the ancient church fathers saw the reflection of the Trinity in us and in our bodies, having mind, soul, and body as a reflection of those three great persons of the Trinity. And it's comforting for us to know that from God's perspective as to how he laid things out and how he designed things, that he continues to see human beings as unique, wonderful, special creatures that are completely different from the rest of the world. There's no other plant, there's no other animal, there's no other mountain, there's no other fish or bird that has the significance that man does to God. not even the angels, not even the solar system, not even Mars or Pluto has the significance to God that you do as an individual. Now, because of our sinfulness, because of man falling away from God, we now experience this great distance between us and God. All of us wish we could know this God, that somehow God would reveal himself to us in a different way so that we could be positive and touch him and so on. A lot of times I can slip into the false thinking that the fact that there's this distance between me and God is somehow God's fault, that he's the reason for it. Maybe he isn't doing something right. The scriptures tell us and reveal to us the truth that we're the problem. The reason we don't sense this connection to God the way we would like, the reason we don't feel this direct harmony and closeness to God is us. We've pushed him away. Even today in my life, the sinfulness that's still in my heart is a hand pushing itself away from God. The distance and separation that exists is due to the fault of man and not the fault of God. And the fact that I have a grave waiting for me someday, likewise, is not the fault of God, but my fault. The wages of my sin is my coming death. But God wouldn't let that be the end. God had to take some action. He just couldn't let it be that way. This special creature that he had made, you, had to be spared, had to be rescued. He had to come up with a way and a plan and institute it and set it up to make sure that you and I have more than just a bunch of worms eating our bodies in a box someday. And so God had to remove this great barrier of sin and death that's in our lives. The heart of God looked at you and me differently than the insect world, differently than the animal kingdom, differently than the raccoons and the giraffes, even differently from his own angels, his own special creatures, because humanity was even above that and deserving of his rescue in his eyes. But the angels were not. So something had to be done. The gap would have to be closed. The rescue would have to be put together. If you've ever noticed a family that has lost a child, it's amazing all of the different ways that they will try to go and rescue that child. They'll end up quitting their jobs. They'll end up sacrificing their homes and their income to go and see if they can find that child. When God lost us because of our sinfulness, when we were lost to him, every person of the Trinity had to be involved to find us and to get us back. The Father who made you, who decided exactly who you would be and what your hair color would be and so on, had this burning desire in his heart to put together the rescue effort. And so he looked around heaven to see what he could use. He went to his best wealth and riches, his nicest treasures, but they wouldn't be enough. And then he had all of his greatest angels parade in front of him. And he looked them over. Would there possibly be one special enough? And there still wasn't. And then his eyes latched on to his one prize possession, his son, the one who had the greatest fondness in his heart. But you were worth it. Getting you out of that box someday was worth it. And so he spoke to his son, and he asked him to go and rescue us. The Son obeyed his Father's will and chose to enter our world and to be born of a virgin mother and to go and suffer and die and pay all the consequences for your sin and mine and to rise again from his grave to give us the hope of our own resurrection someday, to establish peace between us and God, to put us back together with God. Our text says it so beautifully. When the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. So that was the rescue effort. That was the harness. But we're blind. We're ignorant. We don't even know where the harness hangs. And so God again sought to find a way to get it to us and to put us in the harness. His Holy Spirit chose to come into this world through the means of grace, through his word and sacrament, enter your dead heart and mind, open our blind eyes, giving us faith in Christ, cleansing us of our sin, giving us the hope of heaven, and bringing us to the harness of salvation that we now presently sit in, the harness of faith. God sent forth, our text says, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. This week we celebrate the great festival of our triune God. And whenever we think about the Trinity, even in this Trinity Chapel, as we see the triangles reflected around, we should be reminded of how every person of the Trinity was involved in our creation, our redemption, and rescuing us ultimately to heaven. Thank God for this. Thank our triune God that he did not leave it up to us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, we poor sinners confess that in our flesh dwells no good thing, and that left to ourselves we die and perish in sin, since that which is born of flesh is flesh and cannot see the kingdom of God. But we pray that you would grant us your grace and mercy, and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that being regenerate we may firmly believe the forgiveness of sins according to your promise in baptism, and that we may daily increase in Christian love and in other good works until we at last obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.